All right, Rabotai, Beruchim HaNimsaim. It's good to be back here at the college to see the Talmidim. We haven't seen them in a long time. I hope everybody's doing well. As we don't have an official topic, I chose to say something from the parasha that we just read that I think is worth your consideration. We just read Parashat Vayetze, and if you go to the end of the parasha, mamash, the last three pesukim, the beginning of Perek Lamed Bet. This is after Yaakov Avinu leaves Laban's home. Yaakov Avinu takes his family, and Laban is offended. How come you didn't let me? You didn't let me say goodbye. All of a sudden, Laban becomes an etiquette formal guy with social graces. You know, he wants to say goodbye, wants to bless, wants to make a party. Fine. So he catches up with Yaakov. They make a peace treaty of sort. They make a matzeva. You got a sahaduta, galaed. They make a seuda. And then the pasuk says, Vayashkem Laban Baboker, which, by the way, is a proof to what we say every night when we leave the Bet Midrash. We say the Tefillah of Rabbi Nechonya Ben Hakana. B'chnisato leBet Midrash u'b'yitziato. It's a Mishnah. The people are not careful on it, but it's a Mefurash Halachan Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Yud. You're supposed to say this Beracha when you enter the Midrash, when you leave the Bet Midrash. And one of the things that we say is, "Anu mashkimim vehem mashkimim. Anu mashkimim ledevrei Torah vehem mashkimim ledevarim betelim." And I always wanted to know, how does the Tefillah know that they're mashkimim? Bishlama we mashkimim because we have Zman Kriyat Shema. So therefore we have to be mashkim. You got to get up before 8:22, otherwise you're going to miss the Zman of the Magen Avraham. And you can't get up at 8:21 because you have to make the Tachadayim, you have to make Birkot HaShachar. And you can't get up at 8:15 either because you have to have your Tefillin on, otherwise you may do check it. So you have to already get up early. We don't have an option. Jews don't have an option to get up late. But how is the Tefillah of Rabbi Nechonya Ben Hakana so sure that also him mashkimim? They don't follow not the Magen Avraham, and I guarantee you not the Gaon Vilna either. So therefore, who says that they get up? So I brought the ayah from this pasuk of Vayashkim Laban Baboker. Laban didn't get up in the morning to say Kriyat Shema, I guarantee you that. Laban, if he gets up early in the morning, it's because he has some trick up his sleeve. You know, he's getting up in order to do his sheker, v'chazav. So the pasuk comes to tell you, Vayashkem Laban Baboker. Why does it have to tell me that he got up early? Tell me he went. Do I care if he got up at 8 o'clock or Netz or Alot HaShachar? The pasuk's coming to give you a remez over here. Everybody gets up early. They're getting up early to do their Devarim Betelim and Anu Mashkimim in order to do our purpose. That's a Ha'ara, Stam Ha'ara. It's a proof. Vayashkem Laban Baboker. Vaynashek Lebanav Lebnotav Vaybarich Etem, and he blesses them. Vayelech vayashov Laban lemkomo. He goes and he returns to his place. And I ask the simple question. The Torah is a book of instructions. Torah melashon moreh, to instruct, to teach. So every pasuk in the Torah has to have something instructive, a practical lesson. There's no pasuk in the Torah that you can read it and say, well, this doesn't apply today. No, the Torah is an eternal book. So it's dator le'olamim. It's a religion of the ages. So therefore, it has to be relevant every pasuk at all times. So I'm reading this pasuk over here. Vayashuv Laban lemkomo. And Laban went back to his place. What was the havamina? That he's going to stay in the midbar forever? That somebody might have thought that Laban now was going to just live in the desert like a nomad? So the pasuk has to answer that? No, he didn't. He went back home. And even if you want to tell me that he went home immediately, he didn't stay, what do I need to know this for? How does that make me a better Jew by knowing this fact וישוב לבן למקומו. So there's a beautiful, beautiful chiddush from one of the great rabbis of Spain. It was called the Sror Hamor. Sror Hamor. His name was Rabbi Abraham Saba. I recommend it, boys. If you want to read a real, authentic pirush on the Torah from one of the greats of Spain, do yourself a favor. They just reprinted it. Beautiful prints, easy to read, with all footnotes. Sror Hamor. And he was from the Golim of Spain, meaning he was part of the expulsion. And he went to Portugal. And then they kicked him out of Portugal as well. So he's a Golé to the second power. I mean, they Golé him twice. And he writes his story. Throughout his pirush, he writes his, the story of his life. It's amazing that a rabbi who lived under such dire circumstances can write such a pirush like this. But I guess it's no different than all the other greats of the kingdom of that time, the Rishonim, that wrote their commentaries. Harambam, for example, wrote it on the run. So he writes over there, and I'm paraphrasing. We know that you're a product of your environment. The famous mashal is that if you're around good people, so it'll rub off you. And if you're around bad people, it's going to rub off you. And you don't have to do too much. Just be around them. The mashal is if you go to a perfumery, even if you don't buy anything, you come out smelling good. And if you go to a tannery, even if you don't buy anything, you come out smelling stinky. And that's the same thing when it says, when one connects to a good habura, holech et hachamim yachkam. Just by being in the presence of hachamim, through osmosis, you become a hacham. You become wiser than you are. There's a lot to say about a person's company, the company that he keeps. We all know, and everybody in this room experienced it to a certain degree, I'm sure, that you were in the presence of somebody great. And it makes a roshem on you. It makes an impression. Many years ago, in 1982, I had the privilege to go and pray with Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Shalom. In those days, he was praying in his apartment on the east side. And they would invite 10 men every day to make the minyan for Rav Moshe. So our group was invited. Now, we were only with the Rosh Hashiva for an hour, Shacharit. But I cannot tell you the roshim that it made on us before we went, after we went. It's 40 years later, and I still have the image exactly what he did, how he put on his tefillin, how he read Mishnayot in between every aliyah, his shine, his glow that he had on his face. This is a short experience with a tzaddik, and it leaves a lasting impression. I don't know if any of you ever had the zechut to have a visit Hacham Avadya Yosef, alav shalom. These were treasured moments that the Rav would give you a love tap on your cheek. We would cherish those visits. A long time after the visit was over, we were still feeling the benefits. And that's always like that. Now, could you imagine? That's why Dor HaMidbar is such a great generation. There's no generation greater than Dor HaMidbar because they shared company with Moshe Rabbeinu. And imagine learning with Moshe Rabbeinu from morning till night, every day for 40 years. It's going to make a roshem on you. That generation, Bechlal, you had Moshe and Aharon and Miriam, and it was great. They were all there. And you're able to experience it. The Gemara says in Berachot, Ma Hashem Elohecha Shoel Me'imach. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to the Jewish people, Ma Hashem Elohecha Shoel Me'imach. What does Hashem want from you anyway? Ki'im li'yir'ah. All he wants is just to fear him. So the Gemara says, Atu yirat shamayim milta zutrita. Why is yirat shamayim such a small thing? That Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, what does he want from you anyway? Just fear him. The Gemara said, why? Moshe's playing down yirat shamayim. Yirat shamayim is a very, very great thing to attain. And Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, Ma Hashem Shoel Me'imach. So what is the Gemara answer? In, yes, legabe Moshe milta zutrita. For Moshe, it's an easy thing. And I don't understand the answer of the Gemara. Moshe wasn't talking to himself, he's talking to the people. So even if Yirat Shamayim is something easy for Moshe, That would be good if he was meditating to himself. Then he could say, Moshe, come on, for you it's easy, Yirat Shamayim. But he's talking to the people, and to the people, Yirat Shamayim is a daunting task. So what's the pshat in the Gemara? When the Gemara says, "In the Gabe Moshe Meltazutah." So I once heard a beautiful pirush from Rabbi Yaakov Hillel, the Mekubal from Yerushalayim, Shalita. Chaim Yaakov Hillel. Chaim Yaakov said the following. He said, when the Gemara says, "In," yes, Legabe Moshe, it doesn't mean to Moshe. Legabe Moshe means to those that are in the surroundings of Moshe. Mishehu Gabav. Legabe Moshe. To those that are Legabe Moshe, that are in his company, Yirat Shamayim is easy. You know why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu Yirat Shamayim is flowing over. And therefore, it's Tofeyah Haminat Latfiyah. And therefore, if you're in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, his Yirat Shamayim is contagious. So therefore, in, yeah. Legabe Moshe, if you hang around Moshe Rabbeinu, you'll get Yirat Shamayim. It'll overflow into you. And that's how it is with all the tzaddikim. So the Sror Amor writes, and in Lavan's case, he had a private audience with Yaakov Abinu for 20 years. Yaakov Abinu, which is called Bihir Sheba Avot. Yaakov Abinu, who learned Torah for 77 uninterrupted years. He didn't even sleep in a bed. Yaakov Abinu, whose image is on the Kisei HaKavod. Rabotai, we cannot begin to quantify what does it mean, Yaakov Abinu. I once said, his picture's on the Kisei HaKavod, his image. Sometimes you go to a rabbi's office, he has pictures on the wall. Now, Fitz Chaim, for example, he had only one picture on the wall. He had the picture of the Baal HaLeshem. There's a great Mekubal called the Leshem, Rabbi Yosef's father. Fitz Chaim, he hung the picture of the Leshem on his wall. Other tzaddikim, you go to their offices, they have different pictures of their rabbis. You go to God's office. Who does he hang on his wall? Yaakov Abinu. It's incredible. And this great Sadiq Yaakov that's able to fend off a malach, the Samech Mem, in this week's parasha, he's living with Laban for 20 years. Wouldn't you expect that the same effect that Avraham had on Eliezer, for example, shouldn't Yaakov have had the effect on Laban? And Eliezer was also not from the best stock. He's Kenani. And before you know it, what does the Torah tell us about Eliezer? Damasek. Not only that he was from Damascus, but the message is Doleu Mashkeh. He drew from the Torah of his rabbi and he gave it to Talmidim. Zaken v'yoshev v'shibaya. Eliezer was a Rosh Yeshiva. He had Talmidim. He disseminated the Torah of Abraham. Not only that, but the Gemara says at a certain point he looked like Abraham. He took on the image of his Rebbe. And there was a Hava Amina, at least. I mean, for a short amount of time, mind you, but there was a Hava Amina that maybe his daughter would even marry Yitzhak. Now, of course, they're not offering our daughter and your daughter. He was in the running, the Fahot. It was a Hava Amina. And the Gemara says that Eliezer is one of the few people that entered Gan Eden alive. He didn't die. And I'm not surprised because he worked for Avraham Abinu for at least 70 years. So therefore, in the presence of one of the greatest men that ever lived, certainly Avraham's greatness is going to rub off. Avraham was able to change a person's life just in one confrontation, in one meeting. Could you imagine living with the man? So my question then is, so Lavan, you're living with Yaakov for 20 years and you have him to yourself. He doesn't have any students with him. He doesn't have any yeshiva with him. He's alone. You would figure that by the time it's all over, Lavan should be like the protege of Yaakov Abinu. Like at the end of the Avraham, I granted it's his father-in-law. But nonetheless, it should have said that, Laban wasn't the same guy. It should be, he should become, at least elevated to a high degree. And says the Sror Amor, what happened? The Pasuk tells us, Vayashov Laban Limkomo. He learned Limkomo is not a geographical place. Limkomo means a philosophical place, which means this is not a pasuk that's telling you location. It's giving you a summation of his character. Laban went right back to the same spot where he was. He didn't change. He remained the same devious, crook, evil, you know, a conniver. Shadlim komo. He didn't get influenced by Yaakov Akihuze, which is amazing. That means you have to make a conscious effort not to get affected. Which means do nothing and osmosis will take over and you'll get affected, you'll get influenced. That means Laban had to not be pav, he had to resist the influence in order to not have it's, by the way, we see the other example of that by Esav. The Gemara says that Esav, compare Esav to Laban. Esav grew up in the house of tzaddikim and didn't learn from their ways. He remained Esav, which is the same indictment against Esav. But I guess it runs in the family because the Gemara says, you know, when you marry a lady, mother's brothers. So who's Rivka's brother? Laban. So he acted like his mother's brother. Exactly like the Gemara says. Esav doesn't get influenced by Yitzhak and Rivka, even though he's living by them. So he picked up that recessive gene from his uncle Laban, that he could live with Yaakov Abinu for 20 years, and at the end of the day, Shablim Komo. Zero effect. Same bad guy that he was. Now, I know this syndrome. I've seen it, not by the Lavans, but by members of our community. I used to give a class, still give it, Seudah Shlishit. It's the marquee class of the week. People come to hear the Dirash. It was many years ago, we were giving it in Ahiezer at the time, in the basement, and many, many hundreds of people would come from all walks of the community. And there was one guy, his name was Avraham. He would come every week and sit in the front row, and I knew he was enjoying it. He was smiling, he was getting it, you see it in his eyes. After, he was, Hasak Baruch Hakam, and so on. And then, after a certain period, he stopped coming. I was shocked. Our first week, maybe he was traveling, maybe he was under the weather, but then I saw that, no, he's not coming anymore. So I bumped into him, I said, Abraham, you enjoyed the shiur? He loved it, Rabbi, loved it. So why'd you stop coming? I have to be honest with you. The shiurim were very effective, and I was starting to change. I'm waiting to finish this. And the end, Rabbi, listen, I'm very happy where I am, and I'm not looking to change my friends, change my style, lifestyle, I'm happy where I am. And to go to the shiur and listen to it, it's impossible to listen and not to react. So therefore, not for me. V'Lavan shavlim komo, v'Avraham shavlim komo. He went right back to the same place he was. That means he resisted. He's like, I can't let myself hear the truth. Because if I hear the truth, it's going to change me. And I want to change. I want to live the life that I'm used to. That's the Lavan syndrome, Rabotai. Boy comes to the yeshiva, you have to be open-minded. You have to allow the truths that your rabbanim are going to profess to you to enter. You cannot go in with a mental block that you're just going in for, you know, to get the grades and to pass a test, and then when you leave, you'll do whatever you want. The open-mindedness of a true person must accept Torah with all the effects that Torah has on the person. And it's always for the better, not for the worse. That's why the next pasuk writes, V'Yaakov, regarding Yaakov, Halach ledarko. Yaakov is always halach ledarko. He's always moving. Halach ledarko. Whereas Laban is static. Nekomo. Yaakov is fluid. Where Laban is stationary. He's in his place. Yaakov Abinu is always in motion. Yaakov alak ledarko. Yaakov, you learned for 77 years straight. Now what more can you do? Not done yet. He still has much more to accomplish. Tzaddikim en lahem menuha ba'olam hazeh. The tzaddik has no menuha in this world, no rest. Because the tzaddik always knows there's another madrigah, there's another level. And Yaakov knows also something else. V'Yaakov alach ledarko means what the Gaon Mevilna said. Gaon Mevilna said, and you all heard it in yeshiva because you guys have been around long enough. He said it in Mishle, I'm paraphrasing, that in Olam Hazeh, if you're not going up, you're going down. The Gaon's rule was that there's no such thing as status. If you know anything about business, they say the same thing. If you're not making money, you're losing money. There's no such thing as, you know, how was your season this year? Flat. No such thing as flat. If it's flat, that means you lost money. You didn't make more money than last year, that's the way to look at it. So therefore, in Judaism, religion is the same thing. If you're not going up, you're going down. Rabbi Friend, may he live and be well, many years ago I heard him say it in his inimitable way. He said that life is a down escalator. That means just stand on a down escalator, do nothing, it's going to pull you down. You have to propel yourself against that tide to move up. Take gravity. There's an automatic gravitational pull. Anything you throw up, the gravity is going to pull it down. There's also a negative spiritual gravity that Olam Hazeh has. Do nothing, it's going to pull you down. Therefore, you have to resist it. You have to have a negative force in order to push it back, just in order to maintain your level. You know, imagine there's a flight, and the pilot gets on the PA and says, Botai, we reached our cruising altitude of 36,000 feet. I'm going to take off the seatbelt sign, and I'm going to shut the engines. Shut the engines. You need to keep the engines on to maintain 36,000 feet. Shut the engines, start the fall. It's the same thing in Yahadut. V'Yaakov alach ledarko. Yaakov has to keep on moving. Im ta'azbeni yom yomayim ma'azbeka. If you leave me one day, the Torah leaves you for 2 days. So there's no such thing as resting on your laurels or your accomplishments or your achievements. Mighty, you have to keep on moving. Yaakov alach ledarko. Now, the greatest of the tzaddikim is they don't only move forward to maintain their level, but they actually gain ground. They also, they move forward, they move ahead. That's the first musar that I see in these pesukim. So then, I answer my original question. What's the practical lesson? V'lavan, v'yashuv lavanim komo. Big musar. I don't know if you ever heard, there was a great rabbi called Rabbi Yehuda Davis. Alav Shalom. Rabbi Yehuda Davis was a Talmid of Rav Isaac Sher, Slobodka. He had a yeshiva in the mountains, upstate, Zichron Meir, Mountaindale, New York. He was a very, very, very great Talmid Hacham, to say the least, and he was influential in, you know, being one of the builders of Torah in America. I once heard Rabbi Davis give a speech, a talk, and he said something that surprised us, and it's going to surprise you also until you understand what he meant. He was talking to us, we were in ninth grade in yeshiva. He was the rabbi of my rabbi. Rabbi Hillel Haber is the Rosh Yeshiva of Shadei Torah, and his rabbi is Rabbi Davis. So from time to time he would bring him to the yeshiva to speak. I don't know if you ever heard of Rabbi Shlomo Diamond, the Rosh Kolel of Deal. Rabbi Diamond's father-in-law is Rabbi Davis. So that's the connection we have with him in the community. Anyway, he comes to the yeshiva, and he says, boys, I want to give you a lesson of life. Okay, what is he going to tell us? He says, don't forget what I'm going to say. Whatever you do, don't be a pickle. Now, at the time that we heard it, we were actually very happy because none of us were intending to be pickles anyway. So therefore we felt, okay, this we could do. You know, nobody had any short or long-term plans to be a pickle. But what is he talking about? Don't be a pickle. So he went on to explain. He says, what is a pickle? You take a cucumber, you put it in vinegar, you seal it, and it can remain like that for 100 years. You could open it 100 years, it'll still be there. It's preserved. It doesn't change. So he was basically saying, don't pickle yourself. Or don't salt yourself. Don't put yourself in a position, and that's the way you are. That's it. And you're not open to change. You're not open to grow. That's Laban. Laban says, I don't care who's living with me. I don't care if you put Yaakov Avinu with me. I'm not letting it in. Because I want to do my things. And I want to get up early also to do that. He gets up early, I get up early. But he didn't change his agenda. Now, of course, we understand why. The Me'iri writes, Ha'emet kaved, lachen nitma'atun nos'av. Me'iri writes, the emet is very heavy. That's why there are very few people that can carry it. Emet is it's not a light package. It's not a light cargo. It's heavy. Many people are not interested in it. It's asking too much to live by these truths. It's too much of an imposition. So therefore, they have to resist all the different positive influences in order they can remain in the position that they are. So that would be my first lesson that I tell the members over here of the yeshiva. Do not fall into the syndrome of Laban. It shouldn't be that, you know, you're the same person that you are. And sometimes they say, he didn't change. It's a compliment. It's another compliment. The only place where it might be a compliment is if you're in your tailor, maybe, if he tells you you didn't change. But besides that, it's not such a compliment if somebody tells you you didn't change. When I got married, for example, 30 years ago, some odd 30 years ago, a yeshiva guy learning in Lakewood, so on. And I told my wife when we were dating, I said, listen, I'm worried that something might happen in our marriage that happens in a lot of marriage, so I want to talk about it now so we prepare for it. She says, what's the matter? What happened? She said, in a lot of marriages, what happens? The husband comes home and he introduces a new practice in the house. And what does the lady say? Oh, you knew this is not the way we were when we were married. This is a new thing. You're adding things. This is not the way it was. So I'm telling you, I don't know the whole Torah yet. I'm learning. As I learn, we institute. Finish. Which means you have to be willing that if I come home from the kollel and I say, you know what? And don't say, well, you didn't know that. No, I didn't know it. I just learned it now. I'm 23 years old. I don't know the whole Torah. There's going to be a lot of new things that are going to be introduced to me that are truth. And if we're going to build our home according to the truth, we have to be willing to adjust. Nothing is set in stone. And the Rebbetzin, of course, accepted it. And that's still till today. You think I know every single halakha and all of Shulchan Aruch? I go to the kollel every single day. I'm dazzled by the Hiddushim. I come home, I say, hey, what'd you learn today? Okay, nothing. It's not going to change our life so much, but we learned this, so be it. Fine. But if it is going to change our life so much, so be it. That's the key. Laban, whatever he knows at 23 years old, that's all he wants to know. Whatever he learned in grade school, I don't want anything else. That's it. I'm happy. I'm comfortable with that. No, impossible. Yaakov Alach, the Darko. That's the key. So that's the first idea that I, you know, I present tonight, Rabotai, and I think it's a very good musar. You always have to be moving. You always have to be growing. Now I'd like to make a chidush unrelated, but it's a continuation to the Pisukim. So Yaakov Avinu starts to travel. Vayifki'u bo malachei Elohim. So he meets up with angels, mamash angels, malachei Elohim. Now she says, "Who are these malachei Elohim? Malachim shel Eretz Yisrael ba'u lekrato lelavoto le'eretz la'aretz." It seems that there's angels of Eretz Yisrael and there's angels of Chutz La'aretz. I'm not an expert on these rules of territory when it comes to angels, but it seems that, yeah, angels also have their, you know, their territories. They have their locations. And it seems there's Malachi Chutz La'aretz, and there's Malachi Eretz Yisrael. I think we learned that by the latter dream. when Yaakov Avinu has the latter dream, it says v'ine malachim olim v'yoredim bo, angels going up and coming down. And if I'm not mistaken, as she says, the malachim of Chutz La'aretz went up, and the malachim of Eretz Yisrael came down. So it's like a changing of the gods. So over here as well, the Torah is coming to say, "Vayifkeu b'malach Elohim." He was greeted by a new set of angels. The angels of Eretz Yisrael came to give Yaakov Avinu a VIP escort to the Holy Land. Side point, gentlemen. Friday night we say Shalom Aleichem. The Gemara says when you come home Friday night, there's angels that escort you home from shul. And they give you blessings. And we greet them. Shalom Aleichem, Malach HaShiret. We greet the ministering angels. And then, of course, we're being hospitable. Bo'achem the Shalom. We say, Baruch Haba, welcome. And then, who's foolish not to ask the angels for a blessing? So we say, Baruchuni the Shalom, bless us. And we get a blessing every Friday night. And then right after they bless us, B'tzedchem the Shalom. See you later. There's the door. And I once asked the question, what kind of hospitality is that? You invite the guest over, you didn't even have kiddush yet. You didn't even make a motzi yet. Now, I understand the angels don't eat, but you don't have to be so rude that right after you answer for the blessing, they'll leave when they want to leave. They're out of there. They found your house, correct? So that they forgot to leave. What do you have to tell them? No. We're not waiting for you to leave. B'sitchem l'shalom. You know, have a good night. You know, we're going to wait till you leave till we start Kiddush. Thanks for coming. See you next week. Why is it that, why the B'shiftechem? So I saw different answers. Yeah, B'shiftechem, sit down, and then B'shiftechem. I don't say B'shiftechem. That's not my custom. But your custom, let's say, is to say B'shiftechem. How much after B'shiftechem do you say B'shiftechem? How long after?
Seconds.
A second. So that's very nice. You tell the guests, please sit. Okay, now you sat. Now get lost. So, you know, that's like a Sedom.
Many years ago, I was at the rabbi's house, and I said, "What happened with Say Say Lashon?"
Oh,
he says, "I don't say that."
There you
I
go.
Want them to go right now.
I like it.
Here.
Okay.
He told me himself.
There you go. That's a good rabbi. That's a good rabbi. And he probably said it at the end of the meal. At the end of the meal, he probably said, "Okay, rabbi, sir, we're going upstairs to sleep. So, Shalom. You know, thanks for coming." But most people don't have that custom of that great rabbi. We do it right away. So, I heard different answers over the course of time. One answer I heard was that we know that the conversation on the Shabbat table is not going to be, suitable for angel audiences. So therefore, not to embarrass them, we gracefully tell the malachim, for your own good, shalom. You know, you're not going to need to hear all the gossip and all the things that are going to go out at the Shabbat table. You're better off going now. We don't want to offend you. But I saw a beautiful explanation from the Avnei Nezer based on what we just learned now. The Avnei Nezer says that just like there's angels of Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, there's angels that escort a person during the week, the weekday angels, and then there's the Shabbat angels. After all, the Pasuk says, the angels escort us during the week. So what happens on Shabbat is when we come home, we're escorted by the Shabbat angels. And once that happens, we tell the Shabbat angels, Bo'achem the Shalom, welcome. And we turn to the weekday angels, and we tell the weekday angels, Bo'achem the Shalom. We're not pardoning the Shabbat angels, but we're bidding the weekday angels farewell temporarily at the Motzei Shabbat. So that's a very good reconciliation to the Minhag. Fine, we continue the Pesukim. Yomer Yaakov Kashir Ra'am. So Yaakov Avinu sees the angels. So he says, Mahane Elohim Zeh. Indeed, this is a camp of God. Vayikra Shema Makom Ahu. Very good, boys. Mahanayim. He called it camps. Mahanayim being plural, like Enayim, Shinayim, Oznayim. Mahanayim. He called it camps in plural. Why? So that she says, Shtei Mahanot. של חוץ על הארץ שבאו עמו עד כאן, ושל ארץ ישראל שבאו לקלטו, because there was two groups, and they converged. The Malachim that were escorting him until this point, and the Malachim of Israel joined. So when he saw the two Machanot, he said, this is nothing short than a Mahanayim, and he renamed the place. At Shitat Rashi. The Ramban over here, which I'm sure you saw, comes and levels an all-out attack on Rashi. And he says to Rashi, what are you talking about? He says, where was Yaakov Abinu at this point of his in his journey? The Ramban says he was at the southeast corner outside of Eretz Yisrael. He didn't get to Israel yet. As in this week's parasha by Yishlach, boys, you're going to see that Yaakov comes to Shechem. That's his point of entry. So at this point, he's at Chutz La'aretz. And the man says, where was he? He was journeying through the lands of Ammon and Moab and Edom, which are clearly in Chutz La'aretz. So the man says, how could the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael come escort Yaakov Abinu? He was in Chutz La'aretz. I thought you're telling me that there's territories. And now you tell me that the Malachim is Israel. If you want to tell me that they met him at the border patrol, and he said, Baruch Haba Yaakov, listen, we're going to help you just cross the border, then we can start talking to you. But you know, we don't have jurisdiction until you cross the border. And then I understand. But she doesn't say that. And she says, they were in Chutz La'aretz. They came to pick him up, and the two angels converged, the two groups, and he called it Mahanayim. Says the Rambam, what are you talking about? It's a very strong question. We have no choice but we'll tell we have to defend Rashi from this attack. So, I can't tell you everything. Hayin Maharal. Maharal has beautiful reconciliations. I'll just give you one that he says in the Gur Aryeh. He says, to defend Rashi from the Ramban's question, he says the following. When we say Malachi Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't mean that they can't leave Eretz Yisrael. All it means is that they are the administrators of things that have to do with Eretz Yisrael. It's almost like Secretary of State. Now, a Secretary of State means he can't leave the state? Of course not. Of course he can leave the state. But whenever he leaves the state, his purpose and his mission is to represent and do things to the benefit of the state. Similarly, says the Maharal, the angels of Eretz Yisrael means they're in charge of things relating to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, now there's a big tzaddik coming to Eretz Yisrael. So this is definitely a Israel-related topic, that the angels have to make sure that the tzaddik gets safe passage to the Holy Land. So therefore, they went to escort the tzaddik. Doesn't matter where they went. They went to Ammon, Moab. They greet him where they want to greet him. It's their job to make sure that he gets to Eretz Yisrael safely. That's the answer of the Maharal. A very easy and a new way of looking at it. It's not the way we always looked at it. We always looked at it at Adkan Tom Shabbat. You can't pass this, you know, no trespassing. And now we're saying, no, that's not as rigid as we thought it was. The angels, of Eretz Yisrael, they have a bigger purpose. And therefore, even if it means that they have to leave Eretz Yisrael, so long as the agenda is Eretz Yisrael connected, it's fine. Baruch Ata Adonai, Elohim Melech Haolam, Shekulam Baruch. But I came to tell you, gentlemen, tonight, the Hatam Sofer. And consider yourself lucky, if you're here tonight, that you could hear this beautiful piece from the Hatam Sofer. Hatam, Mem.
You got it.
You're writing a book? No, I'm joking. Ashreka, you're taking notes. It says in the Gemara, Ashre mi sheba lekan v'talmudo biyado. In 120 years, fortunate is the man that comes to God and his Talmud is in his hand. I once heard from Chaim Avadia Yosef, Talmud is not in your hand, Talmud is in your brain. It should say, "V'talmudo b'moho." He says, no, fortunate is the guy that comes with a notebook. V'talmudo b'yado. He wrote all the notes. That's the value. It's all documented. So Atab Sofer says like this. You have to know, Rabotai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Abinu Eretz Israel. And he also promised him the nations. I'm going to show you Yosechud. We opened right to it. If you look at Perek Tetvav, Pesukim Yutet and Chaf Aleph. The Torah lists the nations that God promised Abraham. Count them. Et HaKeni, Et HaKenizi, Et HaKadmoni, Et HaChiti, Et HaPerizi, Et HaRfaim, Et HaEmorai, Et HaKenani, Et HaGirgashi, Et HaYibusi. Very important, boys. Don't make the mistake that think it's the seven nations. It's not the seven, it's the ten. God promised Abraham that he's going to conquer not the seven nations that inhabit Israel, the ten nations. We all know, however, that in the times of Yahushua, they only ousted and conquered seven. Three of the ten are still outstanding. Which three are those? It's the first three that are listed. Et HaKeni, Et HaKenizi, Et HaKadmoni. Rashi HaKadosh writes, he tells us, Eser umot yesh kan. Velo natan lahem ela shiv'a goyim. We only got seven. Vashlosha, who are they? Edom, Moab, Ve'amon, Ve'hem, Keni, Kenizi, Kadmoni, Atidim lihiyot Yerusha le'atid. Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, that's when we annex the lands of Ammon, Moab, and Edom. That means Israel is going to be considerably larger. Now, albeit these lands today are outside of Eretz Israel, but when Mashiach comes, those three are going to be conquered and they're going to be part of Israel proper. Are we clear, boys? Mm-hmm. Side point. So seven we have, three we don't. With this, I once explained, if you look at the period of the year where we mourn the destruction of Yerushalayim. So we read three haftarot. Those haftarot are referred to as Shlosha de Pur'anuta, the three haftarot that herald the bad news and the catastrophes that took place in Eretz Israel. And then after we finish the three haftarot of Pur'anut, we read Shav de Nehamata, seven haftarot of consolation. And I explain, the seven of consolation represent the seven nations that we conquered already. And the three of Pur'anut represent the three nations that we have not yet conquered. And therefore, it's a result of the Galut that we're still in. So that's the Gimel de Pur'anuta. But the Gimel of Pur'anut is going to one day turn into a massive holiday. And the Mekubalim write that the three Shabbatot of Ben HaMetzarim, each Shabbat represents one of the outstanding nations that we haven't conquered yet. And Shabbat Hazon, which is the Shabbat right before the Tisha B'Av, represents Edom, which is the most significant one. That's why it's a great Shabbat, that Shabbat in potential. Good. Says Hatam Sofer. Yeah, you're right. Maybe Laban didn't get influenced from Yaakov, but you know who did get influenced from Yaakov? His children. His children absorbed all the Kiddushah of Yaakov Abinu. And now they start to travel. And they get to the lands of Ammon and Moab and Edom. And all of a sudden, Says the Atam Sofer that the children of Yaakov were on such a madrega that they were on a level already that's worthy of the messianic time. So much so that those lands, when they were traveling through it, already started to absorb and started to activate Kiddushat Eretz Yisrael. The Kiddushah of Bnei Yaakov activated a messianic moment. And therefore he says, the angels, they said, wait, what's going on? You're right, we can't leave Eretz Yisrael. But we feel that Eretz Yisrael just became bigger. And they looked and said, whoa, the tzaddikim are trampling, they're treading on this land. We already sense the Kiddushah, it says here already. So says Atam Sofer, they didn't leave Eretz Yisrael. They were entering a futuristic place that will be Eretz Yisrael, but already it had the flavor of it and the smell, not Ba'atid Ba'hoveh, but in the present. Understand how we're learning from Atam Sofer? With this he explains that Yaakov Abinu said, whoa, these angels, do you realize that they left Eretz Yisrael? And they're in Ammon and Moab and Edom. There's only one way to explain this. And he didn't want to explain it like the Maharal, I guess, Yaakov Abinu. So Yaakov says, there's only one way to explain it. How do these angels leave? Unless the angels already feel that there's already Kiddushan is in this place now. And that can only be that my sons must be on a very high spiritual level, that they're able already to bring down this futuristic Kiddushah. So listen to how he learns the Pesukim. So he says, when Yaakov Abinu saw the angels, Vayomer Yaakov ka'asher ra'am, Mahane Elohim zeh. We learned Mahane Elohim zeh what? He was talking to the angels. This is a camp of God. Says Atazir, no. He turned to his children. And he said, wow, if the angels of Eretz Israel have come to this spot, that means you, my children, are a Mahane Elohim. You are a camp of God. That's a praise to his children. You lived in Laban's house for 20 years and you're on such a madriga that you have traveled to a place that is not Kadosh yet, Kedushat Eretz Yisrael, but you have entered it and the Kedushah already is starting to come forth. Enough that the angels hold that they can visit it. Indeed, Yaakov turned to his children and said, Rabotai, Mahane Elohim Zeh. Now, I just brought a remez, the cherry on the cake for the Hatam Sofer, not that he needs it. But I said, if you look at the word Zeh, Mahane Elohim Zeh, the numerical value of Zeh is 12, which is connected to Shevatim. So therefore, that's a remez, Hane Elohim Zeh, wasn't referring to the angels. Now, I know, boys, Benjamin wasn't born yet, but they knew that Binyamin was going to be born. And anyway, Dina was there, so that's the 12. The point is, then we may read the Pasuk later, Vayikra Shema Makomahu, so he names the place Mahanayim. Maybe we could say, according to Atam Sofer, the two Mahanot, what are the two Mahanot? One, the Mahaneh of the Malachim, and one, his Mahane Yehudi. Mahane Yaakov Abinu, the children, that's the Mahanayim. Look at my children, the Malachim already have come to pay them homage. They've come to show them that they're on such a madriga. Last point, boy's side. You know, there's a rule in Book of Bereshit. You must know it and you must apply it. As long as you're reading the Book of Bereshit, you must use the rule of Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim. The episodes that happened to Avotenu Akedoshim become the template of Jewish history. What they experienced, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, in a microcosm, would eventually manifest itself in a macro. Our history belongs to them. The origins of our history begins in Ma'aseh Avot. That's why pay very close attention. Whatever they did, You always have to ask yourself two questions. First, what did they do? And then you have to say, when did it come out in the chromosomes, in the genes? You know, when did we experience it in our history? Their private history becomes our general history. Now, by means of implication, we may say that, and whatever is not written in Bereshit will not happen to us. If we don't have a ma'aseh avot on it, then you're not going to have a siman labanim. Fair to say? So I asked a simple question. I understand that Yeshua conquered the seven nations. Very simple. There's a ma'aseh avot on that. God told Abraham, go to Eretz Yisrael and walk the land, north, south, east, west, and conquer the land and inherit the land. And the seven nations lived in the land. So if Avraham Avinu became the landlord, let's say, of Eretz Yisrael, he got the deed from God, so therefore it's going to happen for us. And therefore Yeshua went in. But where's the Ma'aseh Avot that we're going to get the three in Chutz La'aretz? If you don't find the Ma'aseh Avot that those three lands came to us from Chutz La'aretz, we're never going to get it. Based on what we just said now, boys, you know where the Ma'aseh Avot is. In this parasha, when the angels left Eretz Yisrael and they came to Eretz Amon and Moab and Edom, why are you coming here? Chutz La'aretz. No, Adam says it's Eretz Yisrael. Oh, that's the Ma'aseh Avot. Yaakov Abinu was able to bring Malachim of Eretz Yisrael and have them stand on that spot, and it's as if they're announcing, this will have a Deen of Eretz Yisrael one day. Beautiful. Now let's continue back to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the Malachim Eretz Yisrael that come out to greet Yaakov is tremendous ramifications for us. Nihamtanu, Nihamtanu, we're very, very consoled. That Shabbat Nahamu we just got. That we know that in the future, those three countries, those three nations are going to be under Eretz Yisrael's borders and attached to the borders. Why? When did it happen? It happened by Yifgabo Malachi Elohim, when the Malachi Elohim of Eretz Yisrael came to that location. And Yaakov said, what are you doing here? He says, I don't know, but we feel like the Kiddushah is here already. You raise your children very good. I don't know. They already aroused the messianic moment. Don't worry, Yaakov. This is going to be a sale one day. Not today, but one day. But it's okay. You've activated that Ma'aseh Avot. You've created the gene. And therefore it'll come out in the children. And let this be a lesson, Rabotai. It's three pesukim. Pesukim by the end of the parasha, nobody thinks that these are the highlight pesukim of parasha Vayetzeh, that's for sure. You know, but he went back to his place, angels, Mahanayim, it's very, clearly not the most dramatic part. When you talk about Vayetzeh, it's the marriage of Yaakov, it is his wives, the birth of the Shevatim, the switcheroo with the Chen and Leah, the Lavan and all his shenanigans. Last three pesukim, okay, it's a nice ending, it's a soft landing. No, based on what we're learning tonight, Tabotai, we learn much, much Musar. Number one, don't be a pickle. That's Musar number one. Yaakov alach ledarko, you have to keep on moving. You have to always be in motion. Don't let the negative gravity bring you down. Life is a down escalator. And number two, the greatness of what Lavan was not able to get from Yaakov, his children did. Ad kedekag, that the angels came to greet them. And Be'ezat Hashem, we hope that the 3 weeks of Ben HaMetzarim that we call them, that represent the three uninhabited lands yet, the uncashed-in lands that we haven't yet brought into our possession, those 3 weeks of Pur'anut will ultimately turn into 3 weeks of Ne'amah. And then we're going to have 10 weeks of Ne'amah connected to 10 nations. At that moment, Be'ezat Hashem will have the Ge'ula, as it says, U'ba l'Sion Goel, Amen v'Amen. Okay, Rabbi.